Welcome to the Change Your World Women's Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Miss Kathy Loffman. Kathy, won't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. I want to just take a moment and welcome you, welcome our listeners and those of you that are here live and those of you that may be listening to this after we get the recordings posted. It's such an honor for me to be here. I'm really delighted to have this time with you, and I really appreciate you being a part of the Public Speakers Association event. A PSA, it's really important to us that we engage with you as an audience and know that we're serving you and that we're meeting your needs. And, you know, when Tanya first started doing themes for some of these summits that we do, I thought that was such a great idea because it helps you know, which ones are going to be most valuable to you. And when she announced that this particular summit was going to be focused on women, you know, how delightful that we get to focus the light a bit on women, and especially around the idea of change your world. You know, what really came to mind for me as I thought about this, I thought, what do I want to speak about in a women's summit around changing the world? And what came to mind for me really was this. All through our lives as women, the one thing that's nearly constant for us is change. We have such a progressive role through life. So we're always changing and moving to that next thing. It really is a part of our lives. And we all know that. But, you know, how many times or at what point do we champion change and actively put it to work in our lives? I think we get so caught up and we're so busy responding to all the changes that are, you know, outside of our control or just the natural organic evolution of things that we lose sight of how strategic change can actually be. And I thought, what if we could learn to be not just comfortable with change, but actually comfortable creating it, or really at a minimum looking forward to it? You know, we when we're young, we can't wait to progress. You know, when we're always pushing and rushing forward, right? And then at some point in our lives, we get to that point where we're like, oh, no, we don't want those kids to grow up so quick. We don't want things to happen so fast. And that's where I got to thinking about a practical example for this. And I thought, where can change be the most disruptive, especially for us girls? And I believe one place where that's true is our nest. Whether the changes are planned, even celebrated, it doesn't mean they're not disruptive or that they don't sneak up on us in being disruptive in ways we didn't count on and as we move forward in our lives. Our changing nest, and for what we're going to be talking about today, what I mean by that proverbial empty nest, that moment. You know, our children are growing up, they're heading off to college, they're moving away, they're getting married. It really doesn't matter who you are. This can be a really unsettling time. In fact, just yesterday, as I was going through some online news, one scrolled up about Tim McGraw and Faith Hill of country music fame and their experience taking their oldest daughter to college. And I thought, how ironic, you know, this is what the news is picking up on. But when they interviewed them, what they talked about was what an emotional time it was. I mean, they're so delighted for her, and they're taking such pride in it. But it was really an emotional time, particularly for Faith Hill. And it's true for all of us. We're happy for our children. We're proud of them. But there's a part of us that's also sad because we know things are going to irrevocably change. And there is somewhat of a sense of loss as we see them moving on with their own lives. And our whole life can seem to shift at those times. And no matter how much we're celebrating within that change, that sense of loss is there. So I thought it might be helpful to break that down and look at that and understand why, and then give you some practical ideas on how you can actually create meaningful change. So this is what I call the three R's of the nest dynamic. And anytime we're in a space where we cohabitate, we'll think of that as a nest. But in this case, we're talking about us with our families. And it breaks into these three R's: our relationships, the responsibilities, and the resources. Because that's really what that looks like. We have relationships, we have responsibilities, and we have resources that are all in play. You know, in my own life, I can see this so clearly in hindsight, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, as they call it, that rear view mirror. There is a relationship dynamic that definitely shifts. You know, our children are always our children. My daughter's 33. She still calls me mommy. Our children are always our children, no matter how old they are. But you know what? They become someone else as well. They become another adult, even in some ways our peer. And that relationship can bring a very different energy, a completely different thing. You know, I think sometimes what happens is that there's some moment in there, not only where we begin to see them differently, but they begin to see us differently. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. So we move that past relationships and move to responsibilities. What I think we're really talking about here is purpose. We're so used to living our daily life at every level based on being responsible for their daily life. So when that responsibility shifts, it can bring with it a loss of purpose. What are we going to do with ourselves? And then those resources, our time, our money, our energy, as the priorities shift, we often fail to recognize that how we leverage those resources also needs to shift. So they're kind of left out there floating. So that's where we need to learn and embrace the power of 3 P's. So we talked about those 3 R's, but now I want to talk about the power of 3 P's of permission, perspective, and possibilities. Because that's really where this starts to move. Every change is an ending and a beginning. So we come to an end, but at the end is also the beginning. The finish line and the start line are at the same place. So every time our life progresses to a new season, it brings the ending of something we know so that we can replace it with possibilities that were not there before. One of my favorite questions to ask myself when there is something that is an unplanned or unanticipated change is this question: what does this make possible for me? What does this make possible? But if we think about this in actual terms of seasons, in the actual seasons, think about it. You can't have winter and summer at the same time in the same place. Unless, of course, you live in Houston, you could have them in the same week. But you're not going to have them in the same moment. And there are things that are unique to each of those seasons, and that's true in our lives as well. But what I want to also address is the fact that here's where a lot of that sadness comes in, because we may not want a season to end, and that can be our first hurdle. So to get ourselves through to that point of permission, perspective, and possibility, we have to first allow ourselves to grieve for what's going to be left behind, because it is going to be left behind. How we do that is as individual as our fingerprints, but it is essential. The most effective approach for this that I have found is pretty simple, and that's gratitude. Once we commit to seeing everything through the lens of grace, it becomes much easier to live from a point of gratitude. Now, let me be clear about something here. This isn't just a platitude, and I also don't think it's valid to say that we have to be grateful for everything. We simply do not. That's not realistic. I don't think it's even fair. But here is what is true. We can always be grateful for something, and that's the difference. If we focus on what we can be grateful for, the rest becomes easier to carry. It's not about becoming grateful for something you don't want. It's about focusing what you are grateful for to make those other changes easier to carry. And I think when you can see that shift and leverage gratitude to say, let me find what it is I'm grateful for and focus there, it makes moving a lot simpler. But as I said, there's some really practical things that we can do that will help us refeather that nest. I've come to think of them as life practices. Some people call them personal strategies. But what makes them powerful is they're not a once and done thing. They're an all the time thing. And they're part of our everyday life. They become a part of the fabric of our actual lives. And as I've moved through several empty places, I can tell you, including the empty nest, these are the ones that have proven invaluable for moving me through those critical times as I have lived my now, even while I'm designing my next. So let's move right into life practice number one. And for me, it's this. It's about bookending your day. You know, this has long been a personal practice for me. It's changed greatly, though, over the last few years as I've gone through some of these transitions. So what's involved in that bookending my day has changed. But let's talk about what this really is about. My morning practice and what I recommend people do in their morning practice is about centering and focus. It's about getting grounded for whatever the day will bring. This can be a combination of activities, and it's really whatever helps you achieve that for yourself, because we're all different. I mean, I know I have friends that have a yoga practice that they do every morning. For me, it's about my journal. It's about inspirational reading or audios. You know, Darren Hardy of Success Magazine does Darren's Daily. It's a short 2-3 minute recording that he puts out every morning. I love starting my day listening to that. It's always really inspirational. It's good to have something in that practice that's physical. For me, that's some stretching exercises. As I said, I have many friends that have a yoga practice that are here, and it includes prayer. For me, it could mean meditation or something, but it really is about centering and grounding. You know, here's the thing. It doesn't have to take a long time to be effective. There are mornings that it takes me 10, 15 minutes to go through this, but that investment in that 15 minutes makes the rest of the day unbelievably different. Sometimes people refer to it as their power hour, and they really do give that time to it. And I'll be honest, I never thought I would get up early for this. You know, they have that 5 a.m. club that a lot of people talk about, and I thought, no, I would not get up early just to read something inspirational, just to do this. But now I find that if I don't get up early enough to have this, my whole day feels a little disjointed, and it's a good reminder to myself that in giving this priority, I'm actually honoring the value of myself and my day, and I start to look forward to it more every day. My evening practice, though, is different. It's about letting go of the day. It's about letting go of today and getting ready for what is next. It's the whole difference between now and next. The morning is getting grounded for now. The evening is about letting go for next. You know, a core practice for fighting the doldrums in life, and if you listen to any of the happiness experts, they're going to tell you that you need something to look forward to. You know, when we end one day by knowing what we have to look forward to the next day, we rest more fully and we wake up with purpose. Even if it's not enthusiasm, you know, let's face it, not every day are we going to wake up looking forward to what we have to do. But we know what we have to do, and it's easier to start when we have a plan. This is also a great spot for gratitude practices in the evening, whether that's you do that through another journal or other methods. You know, I know people that have a gratitude jar, and they write down one thing they were grateful for every day, and they put it in the box or the jar, and later in the year when they might go through that and read that and even share that. But the most important part of this is understanding it's about letting go of today and looking forward to tomorrow, letting everything that happened go and look forward to tomorrow. So whatever practices help you to do that, that should be part of your evening bookend. So bookending the day, getting with my now by focusing and centering, and preparing for my next by letting go and knowing what I look forward to in that next day. So that's life practice number one. Life practice number two, as we refeather our nest, is this: reclaim your calendar. I don't know of anything more inundated with the relationships, responsibilities, and how we're going to spend our resources as a parent than our calendar, our time. One of the most detrimental things I found myself doing when my daughter first got married and left the nest was waiting to see when she would need me. You know, I actually hesitated to commit to things until I knew what her plans would be. I felt like that proverbial 16-year-old girl again, just waiting to see who would call. And I was so afraid of not being available if she called or wanted to do something that I wouldn't make plans. And that was not fair to me. And let's face it, it wasn't fair to her. It put too much responsibility on her. By giving myself permission to create my own life was essential, but the first step to doing that was reclaiming my calendar, making commitments, and having things to look forward to. Even if that was seeing my daughter, I still remember very clearly the first time I had to tell her I had another commitment. Oh my gosh, that was so tough. It was a tough moment. But you know, it was an epiphany moment for both of us because in that moment we recognized that we were giving ourselves permission to experience more. And when we did that, not only were we giving that permission to ourselves, we were giving that to each other. And that's really a key pivotal moment in where you know you are reclaiming not just your calendar, but your life. You know, there's great freedom in trust. And if the calendar stays blank, so will our lives. So, you know, let's get some stars on those calendars. You know, again, you know, all the happiness experts, they talk about this. And one of the poets that I enjoy reading is Rita Mae Brown. And here's something that she has to offer on the subject. She said, happiness is pretty simple. You need someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. So reclaim that calendar. Life practice number 3, grow your life by growing you. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said that in the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. And here's my favorite part of this quote. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our own responsibility. We shape ourselves, and in shaping ourselves, we're shaping our lives. You know, have you ever felt like you were the glue holding everything together? Ever felt like you were the stability for everyone else? You know, this is something I hear often, and when the nest changes, here's a key place where we have to start thinking about this. Because when those responsibilities change, you know, we aren't sure always where to turn in our lives to find a focus, a purpose. And one of the things that I love most about my life now is the fact that decisions don't feel so big anymore. I used to feel such weight with every choice. Now I recognize that everything is for a season and I'm able to enjoy it more fully. Learning and growing is a huge part of that. My learning strategy before was always about my professional life. Now it's about me, my life, who I want to be and how I want to be. And as I have grown, so has my life. The only motivation in life that works every time is this, and that's progress. So go and create some progress for yourself. Create some change. Create that growth. And what's going to happen is you're going to light your own internal fire and motivation for more, for growing more. And that's going to be a key part for you. You know, this is a core practice that serves us all. Grow our lives by growing ourselves. Always be learning something and always be growing. But here's one thing I want to caution you about. Be deliberate about it. Many people say that they are a lifelong learner and that they learn from everyone, and that's great. But also, learn something specific. Be deliberate. Take a class, a course. Sign up as a volunteer where you'll learn a new skill. Be deliberate. Embrace that inner explorer again. Be intentional. Life practice number 4, always be expanding your circle. You know, Jim Rohn teaches that you're the average of the 5 people that you spend the most time with. Guess what? The 5 people you spend the most time with need to change. Sometimes that's really organic and it just happens as a matter of course. But sometimes we actually have to cause that change. And that's about expanding our circle. When we think about how our life changes as our nest changes, this is an important point. Because in many cases, up to that point, we've been defined by our roles. Even our circle's been defined by our roles. Our friends were the parents of our kids' friends, and we knew people based on where we were with our families, versus creating strategic relationships outside of that where we can both serve and be served. You know, when I came to this point, this was hard for me because I'm very much an introvert, and so going into large crowds or thinking about networking and all of that was not something that appealed to me. So I needed to find ways that worked for me and meet people on a smaller scale, and I did, and you can too. You know, those relationships continue to grow. And here's what's really super remarkable about them. They become the catalyst for other new relationships because as we find kindred spirits, they introduce us to others. And by always being open to expanding our circles, we are also expanding what I call our lifescape. I will tell you, quite honestly, PSA was a huge participant for me in this. And when I first joined PSA, this is where some really meaningful relationships began for me. And as I met those people, then I met other people, and my circle has expanded. And now, as I look at my own circle of influence and my own circle of peers, it's so much more meaningful to me. But it's also dynamic and constantly changing because I'm allowing it to. So life practice number 5, as we wrap these practices up, make a difference every day. You know, one of the things that comes to mind for everyone I work with and speak with on the subject of empty nest or the changing nest and changes in the seasons of our life is the idea of legacy. You know, what do we want to be remembered for? We think about this as we again start looking at purpose and shifting roles and responsibility. We begin to think that perhaps our purpose is bigger than we might have once believed or even conceived. We often see people at this time of their life taking on causes and engaging more in their communities. And, you know, that really is a wonderful strategy in terms of moving on beyond the empty nest. But I want you to think about this with me more universally and make it a life practice to make a difference for someone every day. Because we're talking about life practices here, things we do every day. The truth is that we are already doing that, whether we recognize it or not. We're making a difference in people's lives. In fact, I don't know that we ever really know where we had the largest impact on a daily basis. Sometimes it's good. Maybe if we're not on our best form, it might not be. But we have a choice. And if we set a goal every day of making a difference, the dividends in life satisfaction for what we're going to achieve are priceless. This is also where our example makes a tremendous difference. When our children see us moving beyond the nucleus and seeing beyond ourselves to a greater purpose, we're also encouraging them and giving them permission to do the same. And with that permission comes new perspectives and possibilities. And I just would say to always remember that your legacy is never about what you leave. It's always about what you live. One of my favorite quotes on this subject comes from Oprah Winfrey and her commencement address at Howard University in 2007. And this is what she shared with them. Use your life in the service somehow to others and give back what you have been given. That's how you keep it. That's how you get it. That's how you grow it. So there you have those 5 life practices. And, you know, just bookending your day, reclaiming your calendar, growing your life by growing you, expanding your circle, making a difference every day. And here's what's beautiful about that. You don't have to wait for your nest to change to put those life practices into practice. In fact, the earlier you start that, the more sustaining they will be for you as you move through those changes. Permission, perspective, possibilities. Use them to create a life system that's going to guide you from now to next, not once, but every time throughout your life. You know, Jim Rohn says that we all have 2 choices. We can make a living or we can design a life. These practices can make all the difference in what you do from that. Another favorite of mine comes from Golda Meir, where she says, trust yourself. Create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement. I just think that that's such a great mantra for life. And remember that what we do daily has a much higher impact on our results than anything we do weekly, monthly, or occasionally. That stream must be constantly moving to wear down the rock. So when you are consistently working on something, you're going to attract even more possibilities and opportunities for yourself. And as I wrap up, here's a final thought from the man that started my own relationship with personal development through my father, Earl Nightingale, where he said, learn to enjoy every minute of your life. Be happy now. Don't wait for something outside of yourself to make you happy in the future. Think how really precious is the time you have to spend, whether it's at work or with your family. Every minute should be enjoyed and savored. And from that comes my signature and my life mantra, live today like you want tomorrow to be, to live well. With that, I want to thank you for joining us here at this PSA Women's Summit. I hope you found value in our time together. I would like to be able to connect with you again. My website is mckinzeycircle.com. That's mckenziecircle.com. You can join my mailing list. Lots of exciting things coming up, including the release of my next book, and also connect with me there on social media. If you'd like to explore more about the possibilities of designing your life, you can visit the website at the same spot, mckinzeycircle.com/live today. And there you can sign up to get a complimentary copy of my ebook on the subject of creating your best life. And with that, Tanya, I will turn it back over to you.